Now I'm a Fontaine guy. Now I'm a Fontaine guy. Mrs. Fontaine and I went to hear Sandburg.
Mm.
Carl Sandburg at the university. And this, he was gray-haired then, too. And it's hanging over his face, and he played his guitar at times, sang, told stories. And one of the stories he told was the story of two grubworms that had gotten dislodged by being carried. One fell off and fell on the hard pavement where there was no earth. And the other one got into good earth. Well, in later times, they met, and the one that fell on the pavement was very thin and lean and badly off. And the one that fell on the good earth was fat, round, and prosperous. And when the poor one got over, "How did you get along so well? How did you get?" "Oh," he said, "individual initiative and free enterprise." That's how he got so fat.
Do you remember that from all those years?
Yeah, I remember that story. Alma and I sat laughing about it. That's when we lived over by the university. Hard for me to remember names. I have to think of them in notes. Maybe I should now tell about Mary Murphy all the years. Mary Murphy, I was very, very fond of her. I knew her before she came to live with me. And she'd come home from work. I don't see how I had time to do all the things I did, but in the evening, we would have time, when we didn't go somewhere, we'd sit and play Chinese checkers, talk, in the living room. We had many a nice session. Oscar would be around reading. But she was very, very radical.
Where did she come from?
She came from North Dakota.
Well, she
somewhere did? In the western part. She had her education in that Catholic school in Fargo.
Oh, Catholic, huh?
Oh, yes, she was Catholic. And she always maintained that the Catholics were basically more liberal than the Protestants. While she didn't practice, wasn't a practicing Catholic anymore, I think she was, she believed in Christianity as at heart, you know. She constantly brought up the contrast between Catholicism and Protestantism. And she had more use for her Catholic religion, as radical as she was, than she did for the Protestants.
Oh, I don't know. How you defend the conquesting Catholic Church?
Hmm?
I don't know how you defend the bloody conquest of the Catholic Church, owning more land. They owned more land than any corporation.
Well, she didn't defend that. But she maintained that the Catholic inside of its Christianity, inside of its practice, not the secular, but the other. Well, I will give an example that I don't remember that she gave this example. But you know, there are Protestant sects. It's one that I have used. That I've always thought of. And that is that there are Protestants that believe you are saved by grace. All you have to do to get to heaven is to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that He, because that God sent Him into the world to be a sacrifice to God, to His own Father, for all the sins of the people. In other words, this is what they believe, and theoretically, they believe it yet, that God sent His own Son to appease Himself for the sins of the people that God Himself has created. Now, the Catholics believe that too, to a certain extent, but they also believe, and this is the difference, they also believe that you've got to do good works. And the Protestants don't say that. I've heard, Oscar and I went to hear Luke Rader, and I've heard him say that all your good works in a Catholic school after she had become a communist.
No, she didn't?
Yes, she did.
I didn't know she was a teacher. Was she a teacher?
She had been a teacher. Well, she was a teacher. She was a graduate from this Catholic Academy, and I guess that's why she taught. I don't think she ever taught in public school, but she taught in a private school. That was during the times when they had to do almost anything to earn a living. And during that time, she did social work. And she was very active with the communist. I don't think she didn't belong to the Farm Labor Association at all.
Oh, didn't she?
And as I remember, she didn't.
She was a tough, hard creature. She was so tough.
Tough?
On the outside, uh-huh.
Yeah, but on the inside, she was pretty nice. Yeah. And when the communists, what did they do, fired Hathaway from the paper, you know, when she heard that.
Oh, she was in love with Hathaway.
Well, I remember when she was at my house and she found it out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess over the phone or somewhere. It was in the afternoon or towards evening. Well, she went right down to the Communist Party and was going to blow the whole bunch up. Party headquarters. And I heard afterwards that Swan took her out and got her partly drunk, in a way, got her drunk, so that she'd come to a little bit.
She was madly in love with Hathaway.
I guess she was.
Mm-hmm. And he was such a rat in his relation to women.
What?
He was such a rat in his relation to women.
He was?
Yeah, he almost broke her heart. Because she was really in love with him. Well, many women were. He was a Don Juan. He was an attractive man. He left broken hearts all over.
He does, hey. Well, I can see where, yeah. In talking about Hathaway, I can go on and talk about Hathaway as I knew them. That was nice, too. Well, I stay with Mary. And after a while, after the years, I have her story about that family. She saw so much of the well-to-do that went bankrupt during the Depression and how helpless they were.
Yeah, you told me.
I have that about her. Well, she finally was quite...
Did she leave when Stassen came in? Or was that when she left? But did she lose her job?
Yes, she left.
She lost her job, probably.
I guess she must have lost it. I don't remember whether she lost it or quit. And she went out west. She was in Seattle. I heard about her there. And did you hear anything about her there? I don't know. I can't tell that story. Someone told it to me, but I don't know exactly. But she was given to blowing up a community, and I guess in the hall she began to have sort of a persecution complex because of her communism.
Mm-hmm.
Outspoken. Whether it was a complex or not, maybe she was.
Yeah. Well,
I can't tell. There was some trouble she had there because she lost some books or something. She thought they'd taken them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I could find that out, but I don't think
that doesn't matter.
I have to leave it out, I guess.
Well, we got up to the end of 39 when everything broke, all hell broke loose in 39 when the pact was signed. You want to tell something about, and then the thing about the Soviet Union and...
Well, that pact.
Didn't you belong to the Friends of the Soviet Union that we had here, or did you?
Not the Sons of the Soviet
Friends.
Union. Huh?
The Friends of the Soviet Union.
Friends of the Soviet Union. Well...
That broke up a whole lot of... everything broke up that was... All this life that you describe of the New Deal and the Farmer Labor Party, all was broken down.
Well...
And many liberals became very, they had to flee here.
They didn't have an actual membership, as I remember. We used to go to the meetings. There was no actual membership of any of those organizations. Never joined anything, but we used to go to meetings.
Well, I think you said that this whole period up to, the Farmer Labor Party, now it was all smashed.
It was all smashed because of a fight for power.
And the world.
To my
Hitler,
hope.
Hitler was...
And, of course, that would enter into it as an excuse for smashing it. That's true. But the fight for power between Hjalmar Peterson inside, with the help of the Trotskyites and so on, they did break it up. And,
Stassen did the real most breaking up.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, that whole communist and cat's paws was the beginning of the McCarthy period.
Yes.
I mean, they set the pattern for the whole fascist, anti-Semitic, anti-Negro. Stassen came into power.
I have that cat's paw. And what they did during that campaign. And, and it was broken up using everything as a reason that influenced the people, of course.
And the anti...
And even the members.
It was the Hitler anti-communist. It was really the fascist pattern.
There was a fascist. Oh, no question
for
about that.
For America, I mean, it was a fascist pattern that was supposed to
because of our experience during that time, we should understand the coming of fascism. That's true. And it happened. I remember that was during the merger had to come on. There were many people that wanted to keep up the Farmer Labor Party. But those of us that were in this complete decline couldn't see that it was possible. I went out in the country. Selma was one of those that wanted to maintain it. And I went out in the country with Selma. And there were one or two people there that wanted to keep up the association. But we didn't have any people. They were old and apathetic, and they couldn't do anything. They might belong a while, but there was no chance to be organized, to have any money or anything like that. So I maintained that there wasn't anything left to do but to merge. I don't know.
Well, what was the effect upon you and Oscar of the smashing down of all your light, all the things that you'd worked for? The Farm and Labor Party was dead, and Stassen came in, and preparation for fascism, and then the fall of Spain. Everything smashed down then.
We were defeated for the time being. I didn't feel as though everything was gone, even then.
Well, what was left? People had to flee here. Marion and Arthur had no way to make a living. They were absolutely, people were
That's
absolutely
true.
Smashed.
We were all in that fix.
Olson had, all the farmer laborites that had jobs had to flee. They had to leave.
Well, we stayed some way.
Marion and Arthur had absolutely nothing. My brother lost
That's
his
true.
Job. He had That's to flee.
True. Oscar lost his job.
And
it was the only time we'd gotten any job out of the farmer labor deal. He had a little job in the highway. And, of course, everybody criticized that, I guess. Even the farmer laborites said that the patron. Well, it was the only time we'd ever done anything but give money to the Farm Labor Association. And I thought he'd earned it myself.
Well,
but he lost
that when they came
in. He was fired from that long before Stassen got in. He was fired right after election.
Why was he fired?
No reason. Just let out. Didn't need him. Which is probably true.
Well, I see that you ran for the legislature in 1940.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear about that. That was quite a thing because what did you run under? The DFL or...
No.
Socialist. Independent? Socialist?
The DFL? I don't know. I don't remember.
You don't have any literature that you got out at that time?
No, I don't. He was still... You know, we did keep up. I don't see how it could have been running after the DFL.
September 1st, 1940, Madge has been drawn into politics as candidate for the legislature.
Oh, I was running.
Yeah.
Well,
makes these days extra busy and as a general utility man doing much of her stencil cutting and mimeographing.
When was the merger?
38.
Oh, no. Wasn't it later than that? I remember that I was running under the auspices of the association or the farmer labor. There is a mistake there. Maybe Tiedemann made the mistake.
A mistake of what? When you ran?
Because I wasn't running. Nobody was running for anything after the DFL was formed.
Well, I may be mistaken. I don't know. I thought they put together because of the 38 election,
when
they thought that Roosevelt Roosevelt would lose.
Because I remember definitely that I was endorsed to run there.
Well, what happened then? What happened in your campaign?
That election was kind of funny. The first report came that I was one of the four. That I had gotten that. And the next report, and I don't know, came that I was eliminated, you see?
Mm.
And not running. Whether that was engineered or not, I never knew.
This was the primaries?
Yeah. As candidate. I didn't know. So, I got quite a few votes that time, in spite of it all.
Yeah.
I got quite a few votes there.
And Oscar was ward campaign manager.
Yeah, we didn't do much.
And his jumps now for 2 years after 1940. There's nothing until 1942.
What's that?
He jumps from 1940 to 1942 here. There's nothing. For 2 years, he didn't write letters or they left him out or something. I'm going to go to the Historical Society and read them all, the ones that were left out.
I went through it. I didn't see much more that I have gone through the last part.
It was 2 years that he didn't have any letters at all.
As I remember, we went on and made our living as best we could. The people were being destroyed, yes. They were, some were. And, but, not like my circle of our seven and so on. It was hard. It was hard to live during that time, very hard and probably almost impossible for some. And then came on this, everybody was called subversive. But that was after the war, of course. And during the war, we could make a living.
You could.
Off the war, as a rule.
Yeah.
That is when Oscar got a job he had taught a year during that time. And teaching was very different then. He came home weekends out here near Edina, in that direction. And, of course, the teaching had changed. It had gotten so that the old way, the pupils, even then, I don't know. You couldn't have the regulation way that we had always had. I guess the pupils were asserting their independence, and if you couldn't appeal to them to want to study, there was no use. Let them ride.
How do you account for the people who leave a movement are destroyed by the downward swoop when some people like you are not? How do you account for that? Or what is their basis of? I mean, some people died when the Nonpartisan League went under. I saw liberals actually die of grief and thinking this was all lost. They came back through here at our house and stayed at our house, men, you know, who thought this was, the Nonpartisan League was the hope of the world. And they literally actually died when the Nonpartisan League went under.
Well, they shouldn't. Because time is a long time. Of course, it was a setback. I didn't like it. Maybe I was completely fed up. I maintained the idea that socialism is the only hope of the world in the end. But your personal life goes on. You have your friends in the movement. And you have accomplished something. That's what I maintain. They felt that lots of people have told me, well, what good did all that work do? It did a lot of good. It made it possible for people to live on. And of course, I'm not a social democrat anymore. I'm not exactly a revolutionary. I feel that when the time comes, and I always thought that a great majority would have to believe in socialism before you could even have a revolution, if you want a revolution. I have learned that the ruling class, like I have read into that, what that Englishman said, that they are the ones, I read that in there, they are the ones to determine whether they will allow a revolution without their resorting to violence. And I think I always figured that they would. And I'm sure of it now. That's the way I feel about it. that there will be violence. But I thought then that more and more education. Yes.
So you didn't despair when they all...
No. Well, I didn't despair because we were, probably because we were the ones that kept on living. We kept rumors. We kept a home until we sold that and moved here. If we hadn't gotten this extra money out of Xerox from Chester, I've told how we got that, I suppose we would have been by now living on old age assistance and our pensions. We would have had to have lived like so many others are living. But we probably would have had our home, and I would have had this. We bought that by selling 625, and we fixed this up on that money.
Of course, that was a terrible period when everything, all the world liberal movement crashed. I mean, you know, even the Soviet Union had the trials, which was a blow to the liberals in, throughout the world. I mean, the 36 and 37 trials, were, you know, where they... where all the leaders were liquidated, and then the fall of Spain. I mean, it was really, and then the, you know, the fall of the liberal movement in it was like 1916. The same thing happened. The whole liberal movement of the world crashed in the First World War. It's a very hard thing to live through. Those crashes. The socialist movement in 1916 was so great. The war smashed down the whole world socialist movement.
You see, we got along, because we did. We weren't terribly hurt. All right. But I never felt as if it was the end or anything. Maybe it's because I taught history all the years, and I had that background before the knowledge of history before I learned, studied Marx or studied radicalism, studied economics. I had a course in economics which was completely wrong at college. You know, that just isn't anything, but I found that out.
You have to unlearn it.
And I think I've always understood the continuity, and I've always felt that socialism is the next order of society, and I didn't really expect to see it in my day. Not here. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to see as much as I have seen.
Yeah.
By any means, I didn't expect to see as much as I have seen.
Of course, in the next 5 years, there'll be even more.
There will be one. I wonder how much more. I might even see a... Well, we are preparing for a change. We have, like this someone just said, we have socialism for the rich now, not for the poor. We're paying for socialism for the rich. All these big concerns are being subsidized by the people. The people subsidize, the people pay for the research work, and then the private enterprise gets the gravy. Isn't that the way it is now? Everything.
Yeah.
Universities. They are even, investigating or finding out how to make napalm and gas to kill people. And then the firms. And we pay for cancer research and one thing and another, and then the private enterprise makes the remedy, whatever it is, that we discover. It's all done, really, by the people until it begins to be profitable. Now all we got to do left, which is a pretty hard job, is to take it over and keep it over when it's profitable.
Yeah, okay.
Make everything belong to the people.
It'll be easy to take over because it'll be so monolithic.
Yes. But as far as I can see, it isn't very easy. They seem to know how to hold on to that part of it. it isn't easy to make the people want to take it over. The people don't even want to. The people think that others can do things better than the people can. A lot of them.
Well, now the war came on. What happened to you in the war? Well, Oscar got a job because of the war.
Oscar got a job. He quit teaching. He didn't. He was elected to the job again. And he could have gone on teaching. But he got himself a job, and then he could stay at home and work and with the electrical machinery. And he really enjoyed that. And so through that time, of course, he taught during the first year, during the war, too. And so he worked until after 46. I don't remember just when he quit. He worked while he was here. And it was a nice job as far as that's concerned. Just a mechanical job.
Had he done
it? Enjoyed it.
Had he done anything like that before? How did he know
no,
how to do that?
No, but it's kind of a scientific.
I see you had a job in the election board at $10.
Oh yes, we had that. We were on the election board until we got moved here for quite a while. No, he was. And then I took it over because he was working or something. So I got that. That is over southeast. Well, I found this thing, this piece on Roosevelt, and I want to read that in. I think I'll read it in rather than hand it over.
Well, anything you can copy is much easier than reading it from here. So
well, then I'll give this to you.
You want to put it here, I'll just copy this today. Because it's easier to copy it from the...
Yeah, it's easier and probably told just as well.
Also, we're getting... This is our last tape. I'll have to either get some more tape or do the tape we have. This is our last tape.
Oh, our last tape that we
But
have?
I'm going to take some off of some of the other tapes.
Oh, I see.
I'll do that tonight.
Then
free one tape.
A progressive rally in Chicago.
Oh, you did? You went to that That was a great thing.
That was a great thing in many ways. I saw some of the. Oh, what was that man from Chicago? There was conflict there, too. In a way. And so there were those that wanted to inject more into it than the others did, go more to the left.
It was the first thing that the Negroes entered, too. They had a lot of Negro conflict.
Yeah, that, I'm just going to say that. And I remember, and Benson, of course, was there, and I remember Mrs. Benson, and I've had a good feeling towards her because of that. She said, how do you feel about the Negroes? So many Negroes. And I said, it doesn't matter. I said, I think they ought to be here. She said, that's right. And we'll have to get used to that. We'll have to realize that they are the people that should be here, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said. So
I think she must be a wonderful woman that has been terribly neglected.
That been what?
Terribly neglected.
Terribly, yes.
Neglected.
Neglected. Indeed she has. She, all these years, she has stood by.
Mm-hmm. I bet she could tell. I told Jim that I bet she could tell a lot that nobody else would tell. But Jim would never interview her, I don't think. I mean, Jim doesn't think women know too much, I don't think.
Maybe not. I'll leave that out here. I'll tell about them. I remember as the campaign went on, as far as Wallace himself You know, he was taken over and made a hero of and so on. But I can't remember that he was too inspirational. He certainly talked. Of course, I saw things. I expected him to be more to the left than he was. He talked very safely, as I can remember, inside the capitalist system. Maybe that's what he should do. But it wasn't too exciting.
Oh, I don't think Wallace was an agrarian radical.
I didn't think it was too radical there either.
Well, he has an honorable role in...
Yes, he does.
And,
he was good.
He was a scientist, besides. I mean,
he was
a great man, I think.
He was a...
I mean, he was a real Midwestern...
I'll never forget how Mrs. Wallace asked me, "Do you think the communists are running this?"
Oh.
And she asked me that. And maybe he backed down a good deal on account of not wanting to be called radical.
Oh, he went around the world and He went around the world and met with all the communists. And...
Yeah. He didn't.
Well, he never pretended to be a communist or a socialist.
No.
I mean, he...
He was.
He was an agrarian radical.
He was neither one.
He was a Midwest agrarian radical.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
that's true. And while there were some socialists in the nonpartisan league, they were not socialists. The program was not socialist. The program was purely reform, really. Oh, it was socialist in the sense that they wanted a state-owned elevator and a state hails.
They not only wanted it, they had it.
And that was a...
They had it.
Yeah, they
so
got
I don't know.
That.
It really was pretty near a socialist state.
They got it. They didn't have it before they got it. Believe me.
I mean, they
didn't have anything.
They took over the means of production in one state. I mean, you couldn't get much closer to...
Well,
I think that they had established a
they
socialist...
They took over the means of production in North Dakota, but they certainly didn't get to take over any factories or any machinery. They still had to pay their high prices for machinery and all the rest of it.
Oh, well, they didn't take over the country. No, that was...
But they took over...
They had a socialist state within the capitalist state, I think.
I don't know. I don't know how socialism was.
Well...
We paid the prices that the dealers asked.
Well,
that they controlled wheat.
Well.
And farm products, the products. And they got better price for their cattle. They had private enterprise also within that state. They had the farmers, but of course the farmers don't have anything to say about their prices. And so they got the reforms. I don't know how much they can... They didn't even control the price of wheat. So I don't see how that could be socialist. They didn't control the price of what they sold. There is that angle to it, too.
Well, they were within a capitalist country, but you've never had anything that near to socialism in America.
Well, I know it. You can't have socialism within a capitalist country.
That's why
unless you can have something to say about what the price you get for what you sell, and the farmers never did that. Really. I remember when I came here to visit my cousin in Minneapolis, and that was during those times. And she had company, and we got to talking. And her friends were, they were well-to-do. And at that time, the farmers were well enough off so they could hang on to their grain until the prices went up. You know, the price would go down during harvest when the farmers, most of them, had to sell in order to pay all the bills that had accumulated during the summer. And so here they were, hanging on to their grain until the price went up. And this friend of Catherine's was complaining because they did that. So that business wasn't very good with the grain dealers. Well, and of course I said, you better look at it from the farmer's point of view. They want to get as much as they can too. That's the truth. That's what they did. But of course, they got these very good reforms, and they became more prosperous for the time being. But they got their, and it hasn't been undone either, as far as hail insurance, and they still have the state-owned flour mill, maybe state-owned, some elevators, and such as that. Except that he was continually in the struggle, and Dr. Fidel took care of him until he was way past 90. I'd see him going downtown with his cane and hardly able to see anything, but he knew where he was going.
Gee, I didn't know.
I knew him personally.
He knew Walt Whitman. Huh? I didn't know that he knew Walt Whitman. Gosh. He
knew
Walt Whitman.
Knew Walt Whitman?
Mm-hmm. He used to go to see him.
Oh,
gee, I never knew that.
I didn't know that. I knew that he's an English. And he was very much in the cooperative movement, too. And the co-ops have published. They have his autobiography. I'd like to get another copy.
It's hard to get.
I think I'll try.
I think it's hard to get. It was published by them. They may, I don't know, you can't get it in stores. I have a copy of it in my library.
Oh, you have your own copy. Otherwise, I'd get you one.
I imagine it's difficult to get, don't you think so?
I don't, unless they've sold them out. They may not have sold all of them. I wonder who borrowed mine. That one I lost. I have my list of biographies there, but that isn't in there anymore.
Well, I wish you'd find the biography that you say that Carrie Nation wrote.
That's right there.
I can't see it. I'd like to see it because I didn't know she wrote one.
Well, I'll go right to work and look at it when I'm through talking. I know I haven't let that out. Pretty sure I have.
Yeah, Gilbert spoke at Marion's memorial. He couldn't see a thing.
Yeah.
He started to walk right off the platform, and Rachel and I caught him.
Uh-huh. Do you have any copy of anything of what you and Rachel those said at that memorial?
Well, Irene's poem is in Crusaders. I think that's Irene's poem that Irene wrote, which is the greatest thing, I think.
Powers on there. Well,
yeah, that's a pretty good session.